Joining me now live in studio is the Liberal member for Ottawa Centre. She's the Federal Minister for Environment and Climate Change, Catherine McKenna. Good morning, Minister McKenna. Welcome to the show.
It is great to be here.
Happy to have you here. I know you're here to meet with communities and then off to grow some more and to make some more announcements. But let's get down to the brass tacks of some of the initiatives that you're in charge of here. We set the targets to try to meet in our Paris Accord commitments. That target moved from 2020, now off to 2030. How confident are we that we're actually going to be able to meet these targets?
Well, we're absolutely committed to meeting our 2030 targets. That's a long time off. We're already three quarters of the way there with all the measures that we've introduced. And that's everything from phasing out coal, investing in renewables, historic investments in public transportation, in energy efficiency. We just announced incentives for electric vehicles. I mean, you really have to go across the board. Investments in entrepreneurs and in inventors, including many that I'm seeing here in Newfoundland and Labrador, got to work across the board. And we're doing more. We're doubling the amount of nature we're protecting. We're tackling plastic pollution. But I've always said, like, look, it's a transition. The environment and the economy have to go together. And so we need to figure this out. We negotiated a climate plan for a year with provinces and territories, and we looked at their unique situations. Newfoundland and Labrador is not like, you know, Prince Edward Island, which is not like Ontario. And so you need to figure out a plan that's going to work for communities, because at the end of the day, the people I talk to, they care about climate change, but of course they care about life being affordable, and of course they care about jobs. So you got to be thoughtful about all those things.
You say climate change and the economy go hand in hand, but Canadians, by and large, I think, just view the targets that are set and the ways to get there, the plan to get there, as simply a tax. No talk about the economy, what green investment looks like. That's been lost in the shuffle.
I know. Well, it's too bad because, I mean, unfortunately, that is Conservative premiers who liked spending time talking about that. And in the provinces, look, we said to provinces, step up, put a price on pollution. If it's free to pollute, there'll be more pollution, but also it won't create the incentives for these clean solutions that create good jobs here in Canada. In the provinces, so, you know, Newfoundland came up with their own system, and that was great. Unfortunately, in Conservative-led provinces, the premiers like Doug Ford want to do less and less. They want to go back to the days of Stephen Harper, and Andrew Scheer seems to be fine with that. But we have to deal with climate change. But as I say, like, you have to do it in a way that's affordable. So in the provinces where we've had to step in, we're giving the money back. So polluters pay, including big polluters. We give the money back to people, and 80% of people are better off, especially those middle class and those who don't have a lot of money. And so you can do these things in smart ways. But there's also the economic opportunity. So a report just came out today saying that there are 300,000 jobs in clean solutions, in clean energy, in clean technologies. That's more than seven times more than logging and forestry. And so the economy is changing. And we need to change because we need to tackle climate change. We owe it to our kids. And I'm also talking today to mayors about our changing climate report in Canada. Shows that Canada's climate is warming at twice the global average, three times or more in the north. I'm going to talk about very real impacts that you will see in Newfoundland and Labrador. Some are good, that you're going to see lobster. We've already seen that coming north. But some are bad. Like, you know, when you look at the impact on fisheries, with you have ocean acidification and a warming ocean, what are the impacts going to be for shrimp and for cod? We've seen extreme weather. You had the biggest storm on the planet last year. You're going to see more of those. And that has an impact. I mean, power outages for sure. Storm surges, huge issue for communities, also for your offshore oil and gas industry, for the rigs. And even now, I know people are talking about the icebergs, I think, I haven't seen them, off of St. John's, but you're going to see more multi-year sea ice coming down, and that makes it more dangerous for folks going on the water. So there's a whole range of changes that we need to be thinking about, and this isn't in the distant future. I mean, often when you hear about climate change, people are talking about 2030, very hard for us to process that, but we're seeing those impacts right now. With the extreme weather, with the flooding. I live in Ottawa, and we've had huge flooding in Ottawa and Quebec, Gatineau area, really impacting on people's lives. So we need to take action, but we can be practical about this. And I know people in Newfoundland, I'm from Hamilton originally, the Hammer, as we call it. We're pretty practical folks. I know in Newfoundland and Labrador, people are practical. They just get on with things. And so we just need to get on. We need to figure out how we're going to tackle climate change in a pretty methodical, practical way while making sure we're creating jobs and life is affordable. And that is at the center of what I do. We have 7 very active members of parliament, Liberal members of parliament here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And we talk about the opportunities, the challenges here, and how do we find solutions.
It's an election year. And so when you look across the country and the provincial election results, I remember early in your mandate, you would say, Canadians want this. Canadians want change. Canadians understand a price on pollution. I would suggest that the victories of Jason Kenney and Doug Ford in particular suggest that that's not necessarily true.
Look, there's a lot of reasons why you get different governments. I'm from Ontario. It was definitely a change election. I wouldn't say it was, you know, necessarily a view of climate change. And you look at the numbers of people who supported parties who wanted climate action.
But they ran on carbon tax repeal kind of stuff. That was right at the very top of their platform. In fact, Jason Kenney's going to introduce a bill to repeal the carbon tax in this province.
I think he actually just did. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't think so. I think there are many reasons why people vote in elections. But look, yeah, people will have a choice. We have an election coming up, and I think it's good that we have a serious conversation about how do you tackle climate change and grow the economy. And we're proud of our record. With Canadians, we have created over 1 million jobs. I know that that might be uneven, and we have more work to do here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And the Ocean Supercluster shows our commitment to really looking at the huge opportunities here with your inventors, your entrepreneurs, your scientists. But at the same time, we're taking serious action on climate change and improving people's lives. When you look at the investments we're making in infrastructure, in public transportation, in supporting inventors and entrepreneurs, in energy efficiency, those are things that save people money, they create jobs, they improve lives. And so, look, you got to do both. And you know, to the extent that the election is going to be, you know, should we be taking action on climate change? Well, I'm very happy where we're at. On one hand, you have some folks that just say, shut everything down. That is not realistic. We are in a transition. We got to figure it out. But you have folks like, you know, conservative politicians who want to do less and less. They seem to not understand the cost we are paying right now. The cost of climate change has gone from $400 million a year to $2 billion a year in a decade. And it's expected to go up to $43 billion. Like, that's our taxpayer dollars to cover all these extreme weather events. And there's a huge economic opportunity. The future isn't going to look the same as right now, and we got to create the jobs for the young people. So you can do both. And as I say, you've got conservative politicians, you got Andrew Scheer, no serious plan for climate change and the environment. And if you don't have that, you don't have a serious plan for the economy.
Let's talk about the economy and how the pollution is priced and the pots of money available for business. I think there was a lot of eye rolling across the country when Loblaws was given $12 million to retrofit some of their equipment. But small and medium-sized businesses are still looking for some real hard, firm updates on how they can benefit of some of these monies. You can qualify as a company with as little as one employee, but then have to do a $2 million project to get the same kind of rebate money or subsidy Loblaws has. That's a really extremely unfair playing field, same as the big emitters being exempt for the most part.
Well, okay, so let's just be, there's a number of things there. So big emitters are not exempt.
Individuals compared to big business and the largest emitters in the country, it's not necessarily the level playing field people would anticipate, because it's a pocketbook issue for many.
Yeah, look, as I say, we're putting a price on pollution but giving the money back. So 80% of people are better off where we've had to step in. Big emitters have to pay. If you're an emitter, a company that is trade exposed, where you got to make sure that we're doing it in a smart way. This is the same way Saskatchewan, led by a conservative government, has approached it, the same way Alberta is looking at approaching it. So there's that. Of course, we need to be helping small businesses. We have a program. We have a number of programs for small businesses, but I take your point. I am a practical person. You can't have a $2 million program. That's not realistic for most businesses. So we're going to be announcing soon, very soon in the coming weeks, programs that will enable businesses to do small retrofit projects, but also to purchase certain products so that you have an opportunity to get a discount rebate on particular products that will save you money. If you're more energy efficient, you save money. But right now, there aren't enough incentives for businesses to do that, whether it's big or small. So we need to be doing that. We all need to figure this out together. And as I say, being energy efficient is just smart. And we didn't get out of the Stone Age because we ran out of stones. We got smarter. So we can do things that save on cost, save on energy, and are also good for the planet.
There's so much to this that I'd like to be able to get to, but time's already restricted on the morning show format. If a short answer possible, is hydro green?
Well, look, I mean, I know there's been some concerns around Muskrat Falls, so you need to look at that. But is it clean power?
Mm.
It is clean power. So it is in the sense that it's not emitting. But I think, of course, you have to look at the environmental impacts. That's why we do environmental assessments on things. But we got to figure this out. We got to figure out how we reduce our emissions. But we also have to, you know, make sure that projects that go ahead protect communities. That's why I know there's been a lot of attention on Bill C-69, making sure that we have robust environmental assessments, but they're also done in a timely way. And I will say, you've got great advocates in Nick Whalen and Seamus O'Regan. They've been saying, make sure that we have a plan for offshore exploratory wells and that you have regional assessments, very important to them. And we have worked very hard because we think the current system is not working well for Newfoundland and Labrador. So my focus is environment and economy. How do you have practical change and practical approaches?
You've said in the past, too, that it is federal jurisdiction to ensure things like the pipelines get built. Andrew Scheer talked about a power corridor across the country. This is about hydro, this question, though. One of the reasons we are where we are with Muskrat is because of the inability to wheel power through the province of Quebec. So if you have federal jurisdiction on pipelines, do the feds also have jurisdiction on ensuring that we are not facing an obstacle in the province of Quebec to wheel hydro for the developments in the future?
So that's a complicated thing. I mean, of course, we do environmental assessments, so that's really important. And then when you look at transmission across provinces, look, I'm not stepping into a huge debate, a fight between two provinces, but I do think in Canada, we do need to get our act together. We need to behave that we're like a country, that we want to attract investments, we want to get our resources to market, that we want to work together and really figure out how do we tackle the big challenges
but
we face.
But how would hydro be different, for instance, when it was then the Kinder Morgan pipeline, and you said it'd be built because it's the federal jurisdiction, but people in Burnaby, BC don't want it at all. The city of Montreal doesn't want Energy East coming through their province. So how and why would pipelines be any different than wheeling hydropower?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's who's buying the power and there are contracts involved. But as a general principle, I think we need to figure this out as a country. We need to figure out how do we clean up our electricity system. That's why we're phasing out coal, but we definitely need hydro and interconnections between different provinces. Also, there's opportunities to go south, the U.S. We are already exporting a lot of hydro, but I think, you know, when I look at Newfoundland and Labrador, the Atlantic, that there's huge opportunities for the eastern seaboard of the U.S. So, I mean, I agree with you in the sense that we do need to figure this out. We do need to figure out opportunities for us all to work together. My role as Minister of Environment and Climate Change is to make sure that we have robust environmental assessments, but that good projects can go ahead in a timely way.
As Minister Catherine McKenna, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks very much.